Pastor Steve, and if you're going to watch church today, I would do it before kickoff, probably. And by round of applause, you got to be loud if you're in on this. How many are rooting for Tom Brady to win? A few. What about Patrick Mahomes? Well, I don't know how to pray right now. Pray it snows. We can all agree with a little bit of that. Well, I do have a sobering word. It's a somber word, a serious word, but it is good news because anything within the covers of the book here is good news. But it's been a year since the world was hit, and especially here at home, even in America, things have changed. So many new challenges with a pandemic, and then other challenges. And I'm a pastor. I know many of you, and I know much of what some of you have dealt with in the past year. However, I am also aware that there are some members of our church, I have no clue what they've been dealing with. And for many, it's been personal. They've kept it under their roof, perhaps. So many today are exhausted. Even spiritually mature people, worn out from fighting spiritual warfare. And some are in a crisis of their faith. Now, we all visit that a few times in our life. God, when are you going to deliver me? When are you going to come through for me? When are you going to show up at my house? There's been a time or two I've gotten before God. And, you know, I don't talk a lot emotionally except for with God. There are some things I only talk to God about. But there have been times I've gone before the Lord. God, I need a word, and I need it today. Some of you might know what that's like, but a crisis of your faith. And some spiritually mature believers who've been in the faith for many, many years have been tempted to doubt their faith. Even after receiving such great revelations from the Lord that are life-changing and undeniable, still there's an attempt by the enemy to shake our faith and cause us to doubt. People are worn out, disappointed, discouraged over their physical health or over something that's emotional going on in their life, over a relationship, either in marriage or otherwise, or the economy. Some have lost their jobs and can't pay their bills. And even though it's hard for many of us to imagine, there are food lines that are lengthy in many nations around the country. Good people, moms and dads who are standing in line to get enough food to feed their families. I mean, the pressure has been on in so many ways. It's led to anxiety and a crisis of faith. And it has reached the point at times and for some people that it may seem as if the devil himself has pranked you. He's left many believers in defeat, or at least in limbo. And I want to talk this morning about your belief and your reality. Your belief and your reality. They are not two different things. They're the very same thing. Now, this is dealing with spiritual warfare, and The Bible says in Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, when this was written, Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, he used language they could understand. That's the beauty of the gospel. Jesus told parables. He was a storyteller. And since he was dealing with farmers and shepherds, people whose vocation and trades were different than ours, he would talk their language so you could clearly understand what he was saying. And Paul, describing spiritual warfare, told the people in his time the perfect analogy so that they could understand what spiritual warfare was. Put on the whole armor of God. When he said that, the people in his day who heard that could see in their mind a Roman soldier. Rome had occupied Israel for years. It was a military occupation. And so the children of Israel and the believers in the New Testament church in Paul's day, when he said, put on the whole armor of God, the people he was speaking to could see a Roman soldier. And back in that day, a Roman soldier, and they were the only superpower on earth in their day, the Roman army, they could see seven pieces of weaponry, Paul referring to. Paul said, put on the whole armor of God. What they heard is, you'd better be equipped like a Roman soldier, ready for battle. And every Roman soldier was given standard issue equipment, seven pieces of weaponry. And then Paul listed them. I won't go into a lot, but you know them. The loin belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, shoes of peace, and then finally, prayer. The seven pieces of spiritual armor. And Paul said, put on the whole thing. Paul didn't say five out of six might get you through. Or put them on if you want to, and on days when you don't feel like it, leave them off. No, the instruction is put on the whole armor of God, all seven pieces. And why? So that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word stand is speaking in military terms of a soldier. To stand, a soldier would have his head held high, his shoulders upright, confident in his armor. Not confident in himself, but confident in the equipment God had given him. And we're called to stand. Having done everything to stand, just keep standing. Shoulder, head held high, confident in the equipment God has given each of us. And then in 2 Corinthians 2:11, it says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Aren't we glad that in all that God has given us, he's not left us ignorant of the devil's devices? Now, I want to talk to you about the word wiles, and it's not a word we use in our day. It is in the original King James Version, wiles. I want to give you the definition because the Bible tells us that we're to stand against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil are his methods. This is the Greek word, an avenue of attack, his schemings. It's also the word for a road, singular, one road. Not like 5 points where you can go in five different directions, but one singular road. And it speaks of his specific course and strategy. Now, that's important to understand all of that. And by the way, I learn from the best. I learn from Holy Spirit teacher, as all of us do. And then I get this from Rick Renner, who's one of the world's most renowned Greek scholars. Methods of the devil, an avenue by which he attacks you. His schemings, his wiles is a specific singular road, not multiple. The devil doesn't have that many tricks in his bag. Usually it's one avenue of attack, one at a time at least, and a specific course of the devil and a specific strategy. Let me tell you, the devil knows exactly where he wants to go. And he's strategic and he's scheming and he's methodic. And he takes one road to get there. I'm going to tell you where that road leads in just a minute. But the devil knows exactly where he's going. Now, I don't like to talk about anybody. And I especially don't like to talk about the devil. I despise him. I feel like if I talk about him too much, I'm giving him unnecessary time. So you don't hear me talk much about the old boy. Sometimes when it's just me and God, and I say some things to God I don't say to anybody else, I'll use some language about the devil. And God gets it. He knows what he is, you know. I don't like to talk about the devil, but he is an enemy and he is real. And the Bible is filled, and especially in the New Testament, with mention of the devil. Jesus himself said, he's an enemy, and he comes to do three things. He comes to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy your life. And then Jesus immediately in the same breath said, but I have come so that you can have abundant life and you won't be a victim of what's his name. Then I want to give you the definition to the word devices, because the devil comes to us on one road of attack. He's strategic, he's methodic, he's scheming, and he comes with devices. That Greek word means perception, thoughts, and intellect. That's what he's after when he targets us. He has one avenue of attack for each of us, and he comes to attack our perception, our thoughts, and our intellect. And the devil's purpose is to confuse the mind and scramble the mind. His purpose is to deceive. His one avenue of attack, and he only has one, is toward our mind. Now, I could take a long time to tell you why I feel so strongly about that. But just so simple, it's this. When you belong to God, when you're born again and Jesus is your Lord, you're saved already. I do believe it's everlasting. He promised it would be eternal life. You're saved already. And I don't think the devil can do anything after you're born again to snatch you back out of the kingdom, out of the hand of God, into his own hand. I don't think it's possible. That is, unless we opt out, as my dad told me a couple. You can opt out, I guess, but I want in. I want to stay in. I'm not interested in opting out. So from the moment you're born again, it becomes, for the devil, a mind game. How many of you, when you were born again, I mean, you were saved and you know it. You knew you were saved, but within an hour, within 1 hour, that lion Had you doubting in the mind? He comes to alter our perception, our thoughts, and our intellect. He cannot really hurt us ultimately. Now, he can prick and trick and prick, but spiritually, we're secure. It's the mind. That's his one avenue of attack. He comes to the mind. Joyce Meyer wrote a great book. I have not read it, but I probably should. It was called The Battlefield is in the Mind. And that's really the devil's playground. How many have heard the old expression, not in the scripture, it could be. It certainly confirms context and pretext of scripture, but an idle mind is the devil's workshop. I'm telling you, even a believer's mind is the devil's playground. That's where he targets for the mind. If he can get you to believe something that's less than truth from God's word, he will confuse you and scramble your mind and deceive you. And the word deception and deceive in the Greek is a fishing term. That's why I like scripture at its basic level. I mean, you don't have to get too deep. You don't have to go off to seminary for 12 years and get 8 degrees in order to receive some simple truth that's life-changing. The word deceive is a fishing term back from thousands of years ago. And it meant to take a hook and put bait on that hook in such a way that the hook is hidden and all that's visible is an attractive piece of bait. And then if you're deceived, you have bitten the bait, to bite the bait. The hook is hidden, but when you bite the bait, you're hooked and you're deceived. That's what deception is. Now, the devil is not a name. Devil in the Greek is the word diabolos. And we get diablo and some of those words. But devil is not his name. It's his job description. Satan was a name. Before that, Lucifer was his proper name. But we refer to him as the devil. That is not his name. That's his job description. That's what he does. And what he will do is he'll get on that one road, that one single avenue, and he'll attack our minds. And he's so persistent. He only has one road, and he will strike at your mind. And he'll strike again. And he'll keep striking blow after blow until he penetrates the mind. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5, Paul said, casting down imaginations. The King James calls them vain imaginations. Casting down imaginations and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, you've got to be sharp on the brain. Your mind has got to be cutting edge to ever think, I can bring every thought that ever enters my head into captivity. Honey, every thought that the devil would strike my mind and strike until finally there's penetration and he has altered my perception, my thoughts, and even my intellect. He's changed my belief. And it began with him striking my mind. The thought that we're told we can bring every single thought into captivity. I mean, I've had some thoughts I've had to chase around for a while. They wouldn't let me catch them real quick. I've got to go after that one for sure. Every thought. I'm talking the Bible this morning. It's in the Bible. And bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. imagine what life is like being taken captive by the lies of the devil. The Passion Translation, and it's a new one, and I like that. It says we're to demolish every deceptive fantasy, casting down imaginations, pulling down strongholds, demolishing every deceptive fantasy. The Passion Translation. What happens is the devil dangles bait with a hidden hook. That's the Greek deceive, deception. Bait with a hidden hook. And his intention, his goal is for us to bite the bait, swallow it. And he plays mind games. The devil is a masterful gamer with our minds. And let me just tell you, everybody wants your mind. Everybody. The advertisers pump billions of dollars out there. They're targeting your mind. You have two parts of your mind, two parts of the brain. The left brain is the more scientific part. The right side of your brain is the more artistic, creative, intuitive part. The devil wants them both. He will target them. But let me tell you, God wants your mind. God is concerned about how we think and how we believe. And we believe according to what we think. I'll say more about that in just a minute. And yeah, we're going to get out of here in time for kickoff. What time is kickoff? 6:30? Really? I'm sure we'll be out. God wants your mind. The mind of Christ. We're told to put on the mind. Think like God thinks. He thinks truth. And everybody's after your mind, but the devil and God are the two who are working 24/7 for our minds. I want God to be the winner on this for me and for all of you. That's why it's important. I mean, I won't take the time to go. You know the scriptures. Put on the mind of Christ. Renew your mind to the truth of the Word of God. Now, it's important what we listen to, because that is what we will believe. I'm not sure if I'm talking about the right side or the left side of the brain, but you will believe what you listen to. Never more is that true than today. That's why Jesus addressed it over and over. He said, take heed how you hear. Because we believe what we listen to. If we listen to it and hear it over and over. Now, the first time we hear it, but after strike, the wiles of the devil, his methodic, strategic, specific course, his singular avenue of attack toward the mind, after about the 1,000th time we hear something, it takes on substance in our mind, and we say, you know what? Maybe it's true. He strikes until he penetrates. That's his agenda. Take heed how you hear. If you listen to the truth, truth will be your reality. If you listen to the lie of the devil, the lie will become your reality. What you believe determines your reality. Now, I hate to throw words around that used to mean something that don't mean something anymore. Like the word reality. The word reality used to mean the same thing to everybody all the time. Used to. But the word reality doesn't mean the same thing to everybody all the time anymore. I think it began being diluted in its definition when reality shows. And we were told this is a reality show. And I've told Brenda from day one, watching a little reality show, there's so many of them out there. I said, that is not reality show. They're aware. The camera's right there in the room where and they are playing to the camera. Probably it's got at least some scripting. They probably knew before they walked into that room and the camera started rolling, well, here's what I'm going to say and here's what I want you to say. It's not, but we call it reality shows. The definition of reality, or it used to be, is the state of things as they actually exist. That's really not what we mean when we say reality anymore. The truth is, each of us have our own reality, and it's based on what we believe. I know. I wish the Super Bowl started earlier. If we listen to the truth, that will be our reality. If we listen to the devil's lies, that will become our reality. We all have our own version of reality. And there is a new term that's made it to the Urban Dictionary in our day, in recent years, alternate reality. That gives me a license. Well, I can have a different reality than you. You're listening to your thing. You think this way. Your perception, your thoughts, your intellect, that's how you believe. That's your reality. What you believe is your reality. I believe something different. I have my own reality. That shouldn't be that way. I just miss the days, and I don't want people to think I'm old, because I'm not. But this will date me a little bit. I miss the days when the most trusted man in America was Walter Cronkite. And at the end of every workday, Americans would turn on their television and hear him tell the news. And you couldn't tell whether he was this way or whether he was that way. And he ended every newscast with these words, "And that's the way it is." Don't you miss those days? Here it is. This is what happened today. "And that's the way it is." He did it for years. Miss Uncle Walter. Gone are those days. Who do we get our news from? Because what you listen to forms your belief system, and what you believe becomes your reality. I'll just say it, and you know it. I don't even need to say it, but if you listen to CNN or some other mainstream media, you're going to get news slanted with a bent toward liberal and left. Of course. I know that's not a revelation. We've known that for years. It's not a new thing. Most of the mainstream media is liberal and left. If you listen to Fox News and a few others who are mainstream, mostly mainstream media, we know before you switch the channel on, you're listening to conservatives, and they lean to the right. So we pick and choose. We have to do it. I mean, Walter is not here just to tell it like it is and declare everything, this is the way it is, and all of America believe. No. So those who listen to one believe what they listen to, especially if you hear it over and over. I mean, it's this one avenue toward your mind. The battlefield is in the mind. The devil's playground is in our mind if we allow him there. And we determine our own version of reality. But what you believe determines your reality. And what I believe determines my reality. And again, Jesus said it, "As a man thinketh in his heart, And that's the way it is. So is he. If you believe a lie, here's a good one. If you believe you're cursed. I've struggled with that in my life. No more. Put that to bed a long time. Not that I'm super spiritual. I ain't doing that. I'm going to believe what God's word says about me and the curse. Not what the devil will try to. That one road. You probably cursed. You know, you look like you're cursed in some ways. Trying to sell me a curse. But if you believe you are cursed, it will, after a while, become your reality. It'll be the truth for you. You might as well be cursed if you believe you are. If you believe you have no value and you'll never accomplish anything, if that's the lie of the devil, over, and you've heard it so many times, you've caved in finally and just, I reckon that's reality. No, that's why. I don't know where you get your news, but all of us need to get the good news. All of us, this is the news right here. Just imagine if we turned off every news source, every media for a day or a week and got nothing in terms of news but good news. Boy, our reality would be much better, wouldn't it? Because here's the truth, lies that are allowed to settle become self-fulfilling. And the devil knows that. He said, oh, I'm going to pound. I'm going to strike them on the mind. I only have one trick, and that's one road, a singular avenue, a wile, my schemings, my strategy. I only have one best option here, and I'm just going to hit it and hit it until I finally break through to the mind and alter their thoughts and the way they think in intellect and even their perception of what's going on. And the devil knows, oh, I'm going to hit them with a lie. I'll hit them 1,000 times if I have to. Sooner or later, they'll let that lie settle and it will be self-fulfilling. The lie then, they believe, will become reality. Lies allowed to settle become self-fulfilling, but the truth is settled forever. This is truth. So the option for all believers, this is yes, even after you're born again, after Jesus is Lord, after heaven is secured and you're on your way to heaven, then the option is there for you. We can believe the truth, or we can bite the bait, and it has a hidden hook in it, and we can be deceived. Your reality will be what you believe. My reality will be what I believe. That's why we're always safe to believe truth. God's word is truth. And whatever you believe is going to dominate your life. It will consume you. You'll find yourself not having enough hours in the day to satisfy that dominant drive in your life based on what you believe. Let's let that be a good thing. Let's let that be God's word. Let's be dominated by God's word, driven by God's word. Now I want to ask a loaded question, and then we're going to go home. We're going to take a nap. We're going to eat a little bit. And not all, a little bit. We're going to save some. For, you know, the Super Bowl. I'm telling you, this is what kind of sports fanatic I am. I never watch a game of any kind. Except one. And it happens today. And I never miss that one. I'm just different. And the truth is, I do it for the commercials and the halftime show. And the weekend is up for the halftime show. And, you know, here's it. This hit me this week, too. I saw online news. The weekend, the performer for the halftime show this year, spent $7 million. of his own money to do the performance the way he wanted to do it. I mean, I can, lights, staging, I don't know what that, what, smoke, fog, I don't know, what, $7 million? Give me $7 million, I'll show you something. But I don't know. But now here's my point. Here's my point. Here's my point. My point is this. I read that, I listened to it, I heard it, and I believed it. We believe what we hear. The truth is, how do you know? How do you know? Is it really true that he spent? Now, he may have. I'm just saying, whether he did or not, we believe what we hear. And there's only one safe choice to swallow that hook, line, and sinker, and it's right here. All right, I have a loaded question, and it's not a trick question, but it is loaded. Think, just your, don't answer out loud, but just in, right here, right now, right here and right here, here's the question. When is the last time you've enjoyed a day of perfect peace? When's the last time? When's the last time you've enjoyed a day of perfect peace? I'm closing with Isaiah 26:3. It'll tell you how to have one. Isaiah 26:3 says, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you." Now, I'm going to hear that, and I'm going to believe that. And that's going to be reality for me. Oh, we all have our own version of reality. I'm going to go with this one. The truth. God, if I keep my mind fixed on you all day, then I will have perfect peace all day long. Thank you, sir. The New Living Translation says, "You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you." Now that's the prescription for a day of perfect peace.